I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you've been a Christian for some time, you've no doubt walked through different critical phases of your journey of faith. At the beginning, you developed a certain confidence in Christ and felt that childlike love and affection for Him. And then the discipleship phase came. And then maybe you stepped into some responsibilities in ministry. And then likely you walked through a heartbreaking season where maybe you even felt disappointed with God. That's that wall, when you hit the wall. Do you know, some people don't ever break through that wall. They get so offended with God, they get disillusioned with Him. But on the other side of that wall is intimacy with God, fresh love and fellowship with Jesus. And it really is the place where we start to mature and enjoy our walk with the Lord. Well, that's what we're talking about today. I'm so excited about this conversation. Bill and Christy Gaultier join me to talk about their new book titled Journey of the Soul, A Practical Guide to Emotional and Spiritual Growth. We have 6 copies to give away today. I'm thrilled about that. Such an insightful book. If you wonder about the critical stages of your faith journey and why you feel the way you do and what to expect in these different stages, such an insightful book. Again, we have 6 copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. A quick announcement. Each week this month, hello, we're giving away a copy of the late Eugene Peterson's book, A Month of Sundays, 31 Days of Wrestling with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can enter to win that on our website, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get this conversation started. Doctors Bill and Christy Gaultier have been counseling and ministering to people for 30 years. Bill is a psychologist who served in private practice. He co-led a New Life psychiatric day hospital and pastored churches. Christy's a marriage and family therapist who also served in private practice and church ministry. Together, they are founders of Soul Shepherding, a nonprofit ministry to help believers discover their next steps for growing in intimacy with Jesus, emotional health, and loving relationships. And Drs. Bill and Christy live in California. This is the one time I'll talk with you at the same time and have you just answer me at the same time. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be with you.
Looking forward to the conversation, you two. Beautiful book you've written here. And we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering, love for both of you just to share, just in your own private time with the Lord. And it doesn't all have to connect with what we're talking about today. Just what's He been speaking to you about? Christy, we'll go with you first.
Thank you. I have really been nurturing on the Lord's promises to me in Philippians 4 that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Mm. That is such a great promise, and I am so thankful that all of my needs are met in Him.
Mm, boy, that's good. How about you, Bill?
Well, I memorized 2 Corinthians 4, one of the chapters that has just been very meaningful to me. And one of the verses in there says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And I just love that verse because it speaks to me about the shining face of Jesus filled with love and wisdom that ministers God's presence to me right down into my heart.
I love that so much. And, you know, let's get a little backstory on your journey and what brought you to here. By the way, I absolutely love the name of your nonprofit. I mean, wow. I mean, just speaks my love language, soul shepherding. But, Bill, let's start with you and get a little backstory. I love that you were so honest about a bent towards workaholism. My husband was the same way, and God so redeemed that mindset. But give us a little backstory on your journey.
Yeah, well, I'm a longtime hardworking guy that's come from a stock of father, grandfathers, very, very hardworking, and so I took that into the athletic field, into school, and then into my early in my career, and it was a challenge for Christy being married to me, and then especially as we had kids, and so the Lord was really dealing with me on that, and so that led me to set aside my dream of being a best-selling Christian author and just raise our kids and live a simpler life and be more balanced in my hours that I was working. And it was really a big deal for me. It was a sort of a death to self as it relates to my career and especially my aspirations as a writer, because I had written 3 books by age 30. But it was an amazing journey that the Lord led me on, and just very transformative for me, and ultimately led to the book Journey of the Soul.
Hmm. Christy, what was that like for you as a mom and a professional yourself, needing maybe something that you weren't getting? How did that impact your own spiritual journey?
Well, it did, and it was a discernment point for me because, on the one hand, I really wanted to call Bill to engage more in our marriage and in our family life. And on the other hand, what God was doing in his life and through him was so important for ministry, and I saw the fruitfulness of that, and I wanted to be supportive for him. And it felt selfish of me to be asking him for more of his time and energy for me and the family. And yet, at the same time, I knew that we were called first and primarily to steward our own souls and the souls of our children. And so as I was wrestling back and forth with feeling some guilt about asking for him to make some sacrifices in ministry and in pursuit of his own dream and use of his own gifts, I also felt the Lord prompting me to just ask and then to trust him with how Bill responded.
Hmm. Okay, let's maybe first give us a sort of a 30,000-foot view of these 6 stages. Who came up with them? And then just a little overview. Maybe we'll take them one by one. But Christy, you can go first.
Sure. Well, these stages are based on a lot of research in a lot of different areas, psychological research, cognitive development, spiritual development through many thousands of years. And even in Scripture, we see these stages. They're just not called that. We've synthesized the whole developmental view of our souls emotionally and spiritually, our brain development, our relational and social development into this model and made it really simple for people to understand the way that God has made us to grow as humans, but then the way that he's made us in relationship with him for our development to be catalytic and for us to actually grow to be formed more like Christ.
Hmm. All right, so let's just take them one at a time. Bill, we'll start with you with confidence in Christ. Unpack that one for us.
Yeah, well, we call that the C stage, and that's where we're born from above. The life of God comes into us through our faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and so we come alive. That animates our heart and our personality with God's presence, and we discover that we're forgiven of our sins and that God is a loving Father, and we learn a lot more about the Christian life in church, in Christian community, and begin practicing this life together and beginning this amazing journey of a lifetime.
So, Christy, would you say in that C stage, then, are there cautionary pieces of advice you have for the brand new Christian who's just coming alive, or do you just let it unfold?
Well, you certainly let it unfold at any stage. The Holy Spirit is a great, wonderful counselor and spiritual director guiding us on this path. But certainly it's important in our confidence in Christ in every stage to realize that we have an enemy and there's going to be unique temptations at every stage. And in this confidence in Christ stage, we have this temptation between our old life and the world and then this new life in Christ. And so we're constantly in this tug of war between the two, and we really need to be in a community of Christ followers who can really help us and be praying for us and engaging in that spiritual warfare for us and helping us to learn to be able to disconnect from some of those disordered, unhealthy sin attachments.
You know, I remember years ago seeing about a major news anchor who was a strong liberal and stood for a lot of things that the Bible didn't stand for, basically. And she came to Christ. And the Christians jumped on her so fast, telling her all the ways she needed to believe, all the ways she needed to behave. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it was so heartbreaking to me because I thought just because she's a grown woman with a massive platform, she's a baby Christian. And, you know, Bill, speak to that if you would, because, you know, it really has infiltrated our social media. People are very free with their assessments. But if someone, mm-hmm. especially if they're a public person, but they're brand new in the faith, they're going to get downright overwhelmed by everybody's assessments and ought-tos and should-dos.
Yeah, and we're especially prone to that in what we call the first half of the Christ ages. But, it's black and white thinking. It's being very linear in our mindset, being prone to being judgmental. I mean, at the heart of it is something really good that we want to believe what's true, and we want to get lined up with the Bible in our doctrines and our thinking and in our actions. And those are things to celebrate in the C stage. But when we get overzealous, or we might get legalistic about it, that's not a good thing. And what we teach is that as we love and delight in Jesus, He pulls us straight. We're not going to have all our doctrines and ideas right from the start, and we shouldn't expect that of ourselves or other people. It needs to be okay to be in a process. The Bible is very strong in the message that God is not a perfectionist. God is okay with the process of us learning and growing through making mistakes, even through sins. We got the proverb. Says the righteous one falls down seven times and rises again. It's the wicked one that falls down but doesn't get back up. And so the difference is getting up or not getting back up. And God has grace for us to be learning along the way, even through our mistakes. And so as Christ followers, it's so important that we view other people that way, inside the church and outside the church, that we don't just be policing people, but we entrust that to God.
That's so interesting. We're going to pause here. When we come back, you're talking about people when you're in the C stage, the first stage, that's where the black and whiteness kind of comes. So what I was wondering about is these people who are so quickly judging those in the C stage, but it's kind of an interesting thought. Are those who are doing such quick black and white judgments, maybe they're in the C stage, maybe they've not matured, obviously. I want to have you unpack that. I just tweeted this from my new Living Translation Study Bible. And this commentator said, many times Christians base their moral judgments on opinion, personal dislikes, or cultural bias rather than the Word of God. When they do this, they show that their own faith is weak, that they do not think God is powerful enough to guide His own children. Interesting, huh? So when we come back, I want to just talk a little bit more about that first stage, confidence in Christ. Are the people who are so quick to assess everybody else, have they just not progressed in their faith? Are they brand new in their faith? Are they stuck in immaturity? I would just love to know that. We're talking to Drs. Christy and Bill Galtier. Their book, Journey of the Soul, A Practical Guide to Emotional and Spiritual Growth. We've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Drs. Bill and Christy Galtier about their very insightful book, Journey of the Soul, A Practical Guide to Emotional and Spiritual Growth. Have you noticed there are just stages and markers in your Christian journey? So, Christy, before we move on to the next stage, the help and discipleship, you heard my question before. When you see people, especially on social media, like let's say a high-profile person all of a sudden becomes a believer, but they maybe, were of the belief of things that, were contradictory to Scripture, and everybody's pouncing on them, telling them how they ought to believe. Does that indicate the people that are pouncing are possibly in an immature place in their faith as well?
Well, I think the people that are judging them are needing more of God's grace. They need to receive more of His grace and gentleness and empathy for them when they fall down. And it's Jesus' adage to take the log out of our own eye, before we try to take the speck out of our neighbor's eyes. And that temptation is true for us really at any stage. If we fall into self-righteousness and we fail to appreciate God's forgiveness for us and we fail to be aware of our own sin and need for God's grace. And that's true for us at every stage.
Such a good reminder to be constantly in awe and humbled by His sacrifices. Wow. Okay, so confidence in Christ is that first stage. Christy, the second one is help in discipleship. Speak to that one.
Yes, because once we've come to faith in Christ and we're learning about the Scripture, the Word of God, but we try to read it and we don't understand it, and it's pretty daunting and overwhelming. And then we're reading and learning Jesus' instructions and His law, which is a grace. It's good for us. These good things about that we can pray to our Father in heaven that hears us, but we quite don't know how to do that. Or we read in Scripture and we learn that God will speak to us, but, well, how does that happen? And so we're needing some help in our discipleship. We're needing to learn from some people that are down the road a little bit more. They've been on the trail, and they can tell you, you know, what to expect and how to pack and when to stop and rest and how to hydrate. And so that's what they're teaching us, of how to use some of the spiritual disciplines that God gives us that are graces, that are medicines for our soul to help us in this life where we get hurt and by our own sin and sins of others. And this help and discipleship is a stage where we're learners.
Yeah, just friends, as you watch, as you listen to this get unpacked, it's they're using Christ as the acronym. So there's six stages of this critical journey that we walk through. Bill, what are some temptations in that second stage in help and discipleship that you can identify?
Yeah, well, the symbol we use for the H stage is the Bible, because we're digging into God's Word and learning about the Christian life, learning about God, learning about how to love one another, how to live a good life. And the roadblock there is misinterpreting Scripture. We need help understanding it. That's why we call it help in discipleship. And so we're prone to get wrong ideas that can send us off in a bad direction for how we're living and relating and how we're feeling and how we're worshiping God. So it's important that we get good Bible teaching and that we have a pastor, a small group leader, maybe a spiritual director, but someone that we talk to and that helps us unpack God's Word and apply it to our life in ways that are really helpful to us.
Christy,
so for instance, an example would be in Philippians 4, we read that Paul says, you know, do not be anxious. And some people just sort of stop there, and they take it as though Paul's giving a commandment, like, you know, don't have any anxious feelings. And then we sort of use that teaching to repress and deny our emotions of stress and anxiety and fear. And that is not the counsel of the Bible. When you look at the Psalms and you look at so many of the stories and examples in the Bible, you see that God is an empathetic and compassionate God. And Jesus shows us tenderness and mercy towards the brokenness and the struggles that we have. And so when you read the whole verse, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, meaning in everything that you're stressed about, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So an accurate interpretation of that scripture is that when you're feeling emotions of anxiety, talk to God about how you feel. Pray that through. Be thankful for God's blessings in your life. And other places in Scripture, you know, fill this out further for us to say, well, part of how you're going to pray through your stress and your anxiety is to do that in relationship with the body of Christ and with people who can listen on behalf of or listen with God for you. And so that's an example of the difference between a misinterpretation and an accurate interpretation of Scripture, which is so important to be healthy and loving in the H stage.
Well, that's so good. You know, Christy, Jesus said, go make disciples, right? And so often we go get converts, and that's important, but we forget to make disciples. And what Bill was just saying there is walking alongside someone going, okay, let's look at the full context here so that you fully understand. And, you know, I wonder, you know, the different reasons we get stuck in these different stages. Bill had talked about misinterpreting, maybe not reading Scripture. The next one is how responsibilities in ministry. Before we get there, Christy, I'm thinking of, you know, you hear oftentimes leaders will say it's the 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Well, for that percentage to go up, it seems people need to move from discipleship to responsibilities in ministry, like in a mindset to go, I'm blessed to be a blessing, and I'm going to enter in on a deeper level and engage with the fabric of this community. Maybe speak to that.
That's so good, Susie. Yes, God has created us each with unique gifts that we can use along with others in the body of Christ to make even a bigger impact of love and joining Him on mission. And as we do that, it's such a joy to be a part of something bigger than just our own small lives. And so the responsibilities in ministry stage is one that it does take faith to move into and to believe that God actually could use you and to learn to collaborate with others in His kingdom for His glory.
Bill, talk a little bit more, if you would, about the just the identifying factors of responsibilities in ministry.
Well, the key here is identity. You know, all of these Christ stages are really different expressions of discipleship to Jesus and the development of our identity as a Christ follower. But in the R stage, it's especially critical around understanding who we are and who we're made to be. And this intertwines with discovering that we have unique gifts, we have a unique voice, we have ways that we've been fashioned by God and how He's created us in our personality, and ways that we can be particularly helpful to other people and a distinct difference that we can make. And so the hope is that as we're exploring our gifts and our abilities and we're using these to honor God and bless people, that we don't get so over-identified with our gifts that we lose our trust in the giver of the gift. Because this is where we can slip into that workaholism or being so self-reliant that we're not actually depending on God's grace. Maybe we're believing in it intellectually, but not as much drawing on it personally. But in the healthy scenario, in the R stage, these are what we unpack in Journey of the Souls. We call them joy gifts. And so we identify the spiritual gifts that Paul teaches us in Romans and Ephesians, and we look at each of those gifts. This is a joy gift. It's because it's such an honor to serve the Lord in this way. And so as long as we stay linked up to the Lord in our serving and in our responsibilities, then we do have great joy in there, and there's a real sense of healthy and secure identity in Christ.
You know, we've had numerous requests that we do a show on spiritual gifts because you just don't hear enough about those these days. We've got about a minute and a half to our hard break at the bottom, Christy, but maybe, and I'd like to tackle some of these joy gifts, but maybe give us a taster of one or two of those.
Certainly. We've got the gifts of being a shepherd after God's own heart, like Jesus is our good shepherd, and we can be ambassadors of Christ to others, shepherding them, guiding them along, growing them, showing them that they are not alone on the journey and that God is with them, leading them, and caring for the personal and spiritual needs of others. And then some people have the gift of being an includer. They're wooing people to follow Jesus in a community, and they have evangelistic gifts, and they're great at enthralling people with Jesus and bringing people in to relationship with Him. And then we have people that have the spiritual gifts as a teacher and showing people how to apply biblical truth to their daily life. We have people that have the gifts of service, really meeting practical needs for people, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick. There's people that have the spiritual gifts as an encourager. They're inspiring people to help them maximize their gifts and encouraging them to use them and helping call out the image of Christ in each person and helping them to see that. We have people that have the spiritual gifts as an investor of donating money to support the work of the Lord. So there's so many wonderful gifts that God has laid out for us in Scripture that He's given us each uniquely, and it's a great joy to discover those.
Joy gifts. I sure love the idea of that. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about entering into that stage. I think there's an invitation for you there, friend. If you've been waiting in the shadows, God wants to invite you to step up and use those amazing gifts He's put in you. More with Drs. Bill and Christy Galtier in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Drs. Bill and Christy Galtier about their beautiful book, Journey of the Soul, a practical guide to emotional and spiritual growth. So helpful to identify the different kind of critical stages of our faith journey in Jesus and why we get stuck. And I'm going to just read these so you can get them at a glance. They use Christ as the acronym because there's six stages. That first one is confidence in Christ. When you're kind of freshly awakened to your salvation, you're excited, you have childlike faith, and maybe the downside of that, of times you might get black and white about things, very, you know, right, wrong period, and maybe a little self-righteous. But that's part of the journey of just growing up into Christ. And the second one is help and discipleship. When you're included in a community of people, you're being discipled and you're helping to disciple others. R is responsibilities in ministry. We're going to unpack that a bit more. I is the inner journey. S is spirit-led ministry, and T is transforming union. And in between that, between responsibility and the inner journey, there's the wall. It's when you hit the wall, that place in your walk of faith where it's a dark night of the soul, you're disappointed with God, you wonder if you heard everything right. And we're going to talk about what happens when you get to the wall. How do you get past it? And does everybody get past it? We've got 6 copies of the Galtier's book. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions, comments, just send those in a separate text. So, Christy, the responsibilities in ministry, you know, I was thinking about the gifts that once, when I was a young believer, when I started to get involved in church, I discovered gifts I didn't know I had. I mean, and you know, I was insecure, I was fearful, I wasn't raised in an evangelical home, so I didn't know the language, I didn't have a zipper Bible. I mean, there was so much where I felt like a square peg in a round hole. But stepping in, there was something that I stepped into that I would have missed otherwise. So this idea of responsibilities in ministry, I think, is missed way too often, but it's an invitation, isn't it?
It really is. It's kind of like if when you're a teenager and your parent hands you the keys and says, want to take the car for a drive. God is entrusting us here with something. He's entrusting us to be ambassadors of Him, participants with Him and what He's doing in the world. And we get to be part of Him blessing other people. So that's a great thing. But we usually do have to push through some sense of inadequacy, some sense of fear that we're not enough, and then trusting Him. And that will grow us in our trust and faith relationship with the Lord.
And Bill, you were saying before the break how, you know, that on one hand, that is the reality. On the other hand, once we come into some of these God-given gifts, we can so quickly attach our identity to what we do. And I mean, I know it doesn't happen across the board, but a high percentage of Christians who start to get involved at some point hit a place of burnout. Maybe speak to that.
Yeah, we talk about the wall as a transition phase in the Christ stages, and it especially tends to come up after some years in responsibilities in ministry, but it really could be at any of the Christ stages, and oftentimes we hit the wall more than one time. This is not just like a trial. Of course, we all experience trials, maybe even every day, but this is like a major trial at the wall, and it's where maybe we're burned out, maybe we've had a moral blowout with sin, or maybe it's a severe time of just doubt and cynicism and things that we've believed before. We're struggling to believe now about God, or maybe it's spiritual dryness and God is just feeling far away. You know, like the psalmist says, you know, my God, why have you hidden your face from me? Why do I wrestle with my thoughts every day and have sorrow in my heart? And why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper, and why aren't my prayers being answered? And so sometimes we just hit that wall where it just seems like God isn't hearing those prayers. He isn't near. I'm not feeling His presence. The disciplines that I used to do that really gave me life and helped me feel God's presence, or my community and my church that used to be a blessing for me and I was learning and growing, but now it's feeling boring to me. And so when we hit the wall, it's a very destabilizing time. And a lot of times this is after some years of serving God and giving our all, and as we've been pouring out to other people, we haven't maybe been attending enough to our own soul and our own intimacy with God. So we've had all this outflow, but not enough inflow. And if we get out of balance and we stay out of balance long enough, then we really get messed up and we can get stuck at that wall.
Wow. And I would love for you, Christy, to talk about the difference between depression and feelings of desolation.
Yes, well, depression is where you are maybe struggling with something that might be a part of a chemical issue in your brain. It could be where you are really in need of some deep care because you find yourself just unable to find any joy in your life, in all aspects of your life. It's an area where you're finding your sleep disrupted, your eating, your relationships, your ability to work, highly disrupted, you're slogging through mud. And desolation like we're talking about, when it's a spiritual desolation, when you've hit a wall, it doesn't necessarily impact every area of your life and your physicality, although there is a connection between our body and our mind and our emotions. But this is more specific to our relationship with God, where we are just feeling abandoned by God. We're feeling distrust for him. We're feeling like he's betrayed us or let us down. We're starting to doubt and question if anything we've ever believed or professed is really true. We're starting to look at that with eyes of distrust, not faith, because we have lost our ability to recognize God with us and to receive his empathy for us in our trials, in our struggles, in our failures.
And Bill, I appreciated this so much. You also write that desolation is not even the same as being disciplined by God. I'm going to read this excerpt and have you speak to it if you would. You're right. Desolation is not the same as being disciplined by God for sin. When you're in desolation, it's not because you did anything wrong. It's not because you lack faith. It's not something you can fix by doing more spiritual disciplines or spending more time at church. Rather, in desolation, the Lord is doing a deep and mysterious work of grace in us, withdrawing our felt sense of the Spirit's presence to reveal our hurts and needs in order to reform us in his love. I'm thinking we could do a whole show on this one point, but maybe say a bit more if you would.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the rhythms of consolation and desolation in our relationship with God as two expressions of grace. And consolation is the felt sense of God's presence. Desolation is a felt sense of God's absence. Not that God is absent, but that God feels absent. And so in these ups and these downs of our experience spiritually is a great test. And so when we're in that place of desolation, the Lord is actually doing a work for us. And it might seem like unkind or even mean for you listening to think about, well, why would God withdraw the felt sense of his presence? Why wouldn't he always want me to feel his love and always to feel blessed? And well, commonly in the beginning of our journey, God does want that for us. But as we grow up, it's like how Christy was saying, the Lord hands the keys of the cars to us and says, go take it for a spin. The Lord is growing us up from an infant to a child to a teenager to an adult. And in that process of our development in our faith journey, we are learning to love and trust and worship God even when our circumstances aren't good and even when we're not feeling his blessings or even feeling his presence. And so that's one of the marks of a mature disciple of Jesus, is the ability to love God and love other people even when you're in a tough situation or you're not feeling God's presence. Now, that doesn't mean that the feelings aren't important, because on the other hand, if we can't feel God's presence, like ever, that's another issue. That's probably not desolation. That's probably a psychological deficit and some historical things in our journey where we haven't received enough empathy and we haven't had enough help in our emotional development to learn how to be emotionally present, to learn how to absorb God's grace. So we're not actually talking about that. We're just talking about God growing us up so that we're not dependent on always emotionally feeling what we want.
Boy, I appreciate that clarification so much. And Christy, you know, I've been burnt out before. It was 20 years ago, and we've been so careful about our rhythms. But I've also been through a number of dark nights of the soul, desolation, where I'm looking over my shoulder. I didn't do anything to bring it on. I wasn't in sin. I wasn't even hiding anything. But all of a sudden, it seemed like the heavens went silent. And I learned something each time. I don't like to go through those seasons, but they're two very different seasons, being in a hitting the wall because you're burnt out and exhausted, and the Lord is allowing things to surface, hurts, as you say, that he wants to redeem and heal, and being trained up and almost weaned off of relying so much on our feelings. So what are the answers for these two people as far as their path, you know, through the wall, around the wall, over the wall? How do they, what's their path back to just feeling life again?
Well, that's such a great question, and I appreciate it. In both of those cases, we really do need some ambassadors of Christ who can care for us, people who can show us God's presence, his empathy, who can pray for us and listen to us, not judge us in what we're feeling, whether it's the burnout or whether it's the dark night of the soul, and that can really give us hope by their own faith. I remember when I was in my own dark night of the soul, and I didn't feel God's presence, and I wanted to, and it was while, by taking heart from Bill and from other Christians that had that great enthrallment with Jesus and love and passion with Jesus that gave me the hope that I could feel that again. And so by watching them, I was like, okay, this is ahead for me. I can get this again. God is with me. He hasn't abandoned me. There's a lesson for me in this. And by reading some of the old ancients that have gone before, who are trail angels to us, that talk and write about the dark night of the soul, and reading about their experience with that and what helped them to persevere and faith through that was helpful to me as well. And in that time of burnout, some of the disciplines that were so helpful to me were do-nothing disciplines, learning to be able to stop all of my busyness and all of my distractions, even good things, responsibilities in ministry and using my gifts, to just be present, to begin to make space to hear God and to let Him reveal Himself to me and to get emotionally honest with where I did have longing for Him and need for Him, but I'd been so distracted and had been numbing with all the busyness.
Man, oh, it's so good, Christy. So, so good. So if you're in that burnout stage and you're a doer, it may feel, might take some faith to be a do nothing, you know, to do nothing and to rest and to have plan, not to have plans. And I know for me in the dark nights of the soul, as you said, I read some of these famous dead guys, you know, keeping myself in the word, in reading, because I just remember sitting in a hotel at a speaking event one day. And I, you know, it was like I was bleeding under my armor. I was still functioning, but I was, you know, but I read an excerpt from an old devotional from the 1800s, and the light switched on, and the joy came back, and I could sense His presence. I can't explain it, but I think it's so important. I think if you're in the desolation, the temptation is, I don't feel anything anyway. I'm just going to wander away. Keep yourself right in it, you know. And okay, when we come back, I wish I had 2 hours with you guys because it's going so fast. We've got three more stages to cover: inner journey, the spirit-led ministry, and transforming union. But we're all high achievers, so we're going to make this happen in a matter of 12 minutes. We can do it. All righty, talking to Drs. Bill and Christy Gaultier, their book, Journey of the Soul, a practical guide to emotional and spiritual growth. So grateful that we've got 6 copies to give away. Amy says, I can't tell you how timely this conversation is. It's giving me hope. Praying I win one of the books. Amy, I pray you do as well. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Drs. Bill and Christy Gaultier about their book, Journey of the Soul, a practical guide to emotional and spiritual growth. And it's even so much more than that, talking about these 6 critical stages, and there's actually 7 when you think about the wall in between, hitting the wall, but of a believer's life that we go through these stages as we mature. Confidence in Christ, if you'll notice, it fleshes out this acronym, Christ. Confidence in Christ, help in discipleship, responsibilities in ministry, then transition when you hit the wall, that kind of a dark night of the soul or a burnout or something. Due to overworking, they say, spiritual dryness, a faith crisis, suffering, you find yourself at the wall. And that's where you decide, do I believe this stuff? Do I believe God? And you watch Him see you through it to the other side. The next 3, inner journey, spirit-led ministry, transforming union. Bill, take the inner journey and unpack that one for us.
Yeah, well, the symbol we use of the inner journey is a shovel, because at this stage, we need to dig into the stuff of our life and our personality and our character, particularly our emotions. And actually, an important thing that's going on here that the Holy Spirit is doing is when we hit that wall, the kindness of God in that season to us is to actually prompt the inner journey. And this is a tremendous invitation, because there are many Christians that don't actually get to experience the inner journey, or they're too afraid of it, or they don't go very far with it. But it's such a blessing, but it doesn't feel that way at first, because we're digging through some muck there. We've got some emotions of stress or discouragement or maybe depression or frustration and anger or a lot of anxiety and fear or shame. And relationship conflicts. And so there's the different sufferings and challenges that we go through in life. In the inner journey, we're learning to really reflect and feel about what's going on there. And we're learning to explore more openly and honestly how we're experiencing God in the middle of this. And maybe we're not, or maybe we're not experiencing his love like we want. And so we're wrestling through these thoughts and these feelings very authentically and openly, and hopefully doing that in prayer like the psalmist models for us, and hopefully doing that in our relationships where we can give and receive empathy, as we've mentioned. And so this inner journey is a very heart-expanding stage, and if we will be emotionally honest about our life and our challenges in this way, what we begin to discover over some time of letting God in deeper, letting grace in deeper, letting trustworthy people in deeper, is it cultivates for us a new intimacy, an increasingly deeper intimacy in all of our relationships, including with the Lord. And so we begin to develop a real sweetness of a closeness with Christ, you know, warmth in our hearts, and just a longing to love God more, to worship God more, to be in God's presence, and just to do all that we do with God.
You know, I will tell you, having gone through that, actually multiple times, I would say, just in ever-increasing depths when you walk through something like that, my greatest intimacy with my friends with whom I have the greatest intimacy are those who've gone through that inner journey stage, you know, where they've done the deep work, we've done the deep work, so we can go there in conversation. There's no pretense, there's no facade, because we know we're broken and God is in the business of restoring us, and that's when the greatest intimacy happens. What do you say about that, Chrissy? Have you noticed the same thing?
I absolutely have. It's such a gift to have spiritual friendships with people that you feel totally safe to be honest and authentic with, that you can let them know your deepest, darkest secrets and emotions and struggles, and trust them to be able to be safe for you. And also, they're people, because they have journeyed this far with Jesus, that you have great respect for. And mm-hmm. so you can also learn from them greatly. It's a sacred friendship and intimacy, and it propels us as we follow Jesus together and trust Jesus together. We have a symbol for each of these stages, and the symbol for the inner journey stage is a shovel, because as we take Jesus' hand and we let him unearth some of these areas where we've got some hidden sins have taken root, and some parasites have gotten in there, and we need a touch of his healing in our soul to free us from that, and we're opening up access to deeper parts of our soul to let him plant some things there and to grow our roots deeper into the soil of his love. It's a wonderful grace.
So, and this is probably an obvious question, but I still got to ask it. You know, do some just get stuck at the wall and never, you know, I mean, I guess I've met folks who are well along in their journey and still seem like they're on the other side of the wall. There's not joy. They're a bit shut down. They're kind of going through the motions. They're professing Christians and have trusted his saving grace, but you don't feel that aliveness with them. What do you say, Christy?
Well, I would say, sadly, this is true. There's great temptation at the wall to turn back and to not get honest and to continue to deny your emotions and to go back to the things that brought you consolation previously, or the things, you know, the familiar territory that's comfortable, where the other people in your community are. And it feels risky, and it takes a humility to humble yourself and admit that you've got some pains, and to get honest and recognize that you might need to let the Lord, the great surgeon, get in there and do some surgery, and to be willing to endure that to get free.
Wow. And then, Bill, how about spirit-led ministry?
Yeah, the S stage is my favorite stage. The symbol we use here is a sailboat, and because we're letting our sail out for the wind of the Holy Spirit to carry us along in our lives, and in particular in our work and our service and our ministry. And so the interesting thing about spirit-led ministry is, in many ways, it's revisiting the R stage, but with a new power, and especially a new presence. Because, you know, in the R stage of responsibilities and ministry, we've talked about how active that was in serving the Lord and being involved in church and community and family and helping other people, but how we get prone to rely on ourselves. And we have such good intentions in wanting to do our work and our ministry for God. And then that's so important. We want to do all that we can do for God. But in the S stage, we learn to the S stage of Spirit-led ministry. We learn to not only do our ministry and our work for God, but to do it with God, in God's presence. And that's where we get into a new power source that we're tapping into, because now it's like transcending my gifts, my abilities, my talents, my personality, my own energy and effort, because now I'm drawing in the presence of the Lord with me. And the way this happens is through training. It's through training in spiritual disciplines and soul care practices. And what we've been illustrating, Susan, is you've been taking us through each of these Christ stages to unpack these, is that each of these different stages, there are different disciplines or different soul care practices are likely to be most helpful. And that's one of the biggest takeaways of the book, is that when you answer the different questions that we have in each of the chapters and you learn, okay, I think this is my home stage, then we're going to explain to you what you're probably experiencing, what that's like for you, the needs and the challenges, and then what disciplines and soul care practices are going to probably be most helpful to you. And so in Spirit-led ministry, we're developing some habits around things like abiding in prayer, where we just take a verse and we don't just think and study it. We also rest in it, and we let the words of Scripture sink on down into our hearts and form our hearts, form our intentions, and we let that become a prayer, and it's a prayer that potentially transcends a lot of wordiness. It might just be a few words, because it's our heart's intention to love God or to love this person. We're pointing the Scripture that way as we're quietly waiting on God and meditating on that Scripture. And so these kinds of soul care practices in the S stage help us to be reformed deep inside, so we become a different kind of person that's not so self-reliant as we are Holy Spirit dependent.
Love that so much. And, you know, it's so easy in the earlier stages to go through the motions, but this is when you're engaged and your heart is in it. I remember you referencing a Dallas Willard quote, something like he said, "Do your best, but don't trust your best, trust God." Did I get
that
right? Do your best, but don't trust your best, trust God. All right, Christy, the final one, I'm going to read these again. Confidence in Christ, help and discipleship, responsibilities in ministry, transition to hitting the wall. Then you go to that inner work, the inner journey. Then you go to Spirit-led ministry. Then transforming union. Talk about that one.
Well, our symbol for transforming union stage is wedding rings, because at this point, you are so committed in your faith to Christ, and you have history with Him. You've journeyed with Him long, and you have come to trust Him even when you don't feel His presence. Your commitment is unwavering. Your identity in Christ is so strong. You have found that you belong and been invited into this Trinitarian relationship of love with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that there's no greater joy in life than in that fellowship. You are learning that you can practice God's presence at any and all times, and that even when you are in desolation, you are able to stay persevering in faith through trials, through temptations, and blessing those that mistreat you. You've learned to love your enemies and extend God's forgiveness, because you have received His forgiveness so much throughout your journey.
It really is such a sign of maturity. You know, Bill, we just got a minute left, but I just love to interview these older Christians, because they're marked by joy and humility and depth, and they're just sort of over themselves, and there's something so precious about that, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're like at the T stage. We see this in the Apostle Paul so clearly, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And he'll endure anything or go through anything if it'll win somebody else to Jesus. And he's not doing that like sacrificially and dutifully. He's certainly not doing it like grumpily. He's in the joy of the Lord, not because he enjoys suffering, but because he enjoys God's presence with him. And out of that, he's able to overflow with love for the people around him, even if they're mistreating him, even if they're rejecting him, even if they're not believing the gospel. He will pour himself out with joy, even as Christ has poured himself out for him.
Wow, you two, thank you for the time today. This has been fantastic. And friend, if you're at the wall, press through, persevere. In fact, enter the drawing, because this book will really help you break through to that other side. That's where joy abounds, intimacy happens. Doctors Bill and Christy, thank you for giving us your time today. This is profoundly insightful.
Oh, so fun, Susie, to be on your show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for all that you're doing.
Yes, hon. Come back again. Love to have you back. And friends, I pray that you found some encouragement here today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.